Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're very welcome to Thursday afternoon's Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Anyway, Louise, we're going to chat first today on the show about communions. And it is communion season at this time. Dresses got, all the trimmings and everything that goes to communion. I take it done, Louise. Yes, for most people at this stage.
So, yeah.
All done and dusted. Places booked for meals out, stuff like that. All that type of thing is finished. But what about, we want to know today, in terms of communion, giving a child a gift or giving some money to a communicant, what is the average, Louise? What do you reckon is the average that people give?
Oh, I would say between 20 and 50, depending on, you know, if it's your niece or your godchild down to maybe a friend's child or something like that. I'd say somewhere in between.
Wrong.
I wouldn't say anything. I could be wrong. Maybe 15, but I'd say the average is 20 to 30.
Right. And that's, you know, higher if you're a relative or closer to the child and dropping down as you move away in perhaps a relationship, you'd say. And with communion money, you've had how many? You've had two for communion yourself already. What about communion money? What do they do with communion money today? Does anyone save communion money? Would you think children put some money away, or is it spent? Do they have a plan for it?
At that age, it's probably Smith's, I'd imagine.
Toys.
You know, like confirmation might be a phone or whatever, but I'd say, Smith's or a bike, maybe. I'd say it's up to the parents. Like, I know we kind of siphoned off some of their money and put it into their credit union account.
Yes.
But
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
To put some by.
And generally on the day anyway, if they get money, they give it to you to mind.
Yes.
Otherwise it'd be falling all over the place.
Yeah, because they don't at the confirmation stage. They know everything and they can look after themselves. I know what you're saying there.
And I'd say if it was left in their room, it'd dwindle away on the sweets in the shops and stuff like that.
For sure. Do you remember what you did with your communion money? Have you still got your communion money, Louise?
No, I can't even remember what I got on the day. I know I got a fair bit. I know I was delighted with what I got. What did I buy? I bought a bike with my confirmation money, but my communion, I honestly can't remember. I remember getting loads of fivers at the time.
Yeah.
If I got anything more than a fiver, oh my God, sure.
It was huge.
I followed them around for life.
Friends for life. But did you spend it? Did you save that? Can you remember? It was a while ago. I know it's hard to recall. Sure.
And do you know what? My communion, I don't even think there was a Smith's.
So
I'd say maybe a dollar or something, and then probably sweets.
Yeah.
I don't think we had a bank account at the time.
No, and I would have certainly got a few bob at the time, and I wouldn't have had a credit union or any account like that. And I reckon I spent most of it with that I got. I wouldn't have got a whole lot, but anything I got, I reckon I spent it on this, that and the other one. I had it at the time.
What would you spend it on?
I probably spent it on sweets and
caps for your gun.
Caps for my cowboy gun is right. I might have got something little for me action man. I'm trying to think back. Was I playing a little bit of pitch and putt at that stage? It was probably too small at that stage. Yeah, things like that. You know what I mean? I probably got a toy. Caps for the gun for sure. Loads of confectionery sweets. Look at my teeth. I'm paying the price for it still today from my communion waywardness. But you know the saying? So that fella has his communion money.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
that saying?
Yeah. Mean. Money.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's mainly about fellas, I think it said. It's not really said about women, to be honest with you. But I'm sure it applies equally to both sexes. But, you know, I've seen that in many instances. Ask your man. He is his communion money. And that is the definition of someone who's mean. It really is. Yeah. You know, it is. You know, that's what that's what you're describing there. And there are people, I'm sure, who have their communion money still and don't really be too flahoolock with the cash. You know what I'm getting at? Mm. I wonder if there's anyone out there know anyone who still has their communion money. Come on. Is there anyone out there knows somebody who still has their communion money?
Wouldn't be worth a lot now with inflation.
True. But if you listen to John Lowe, if you'd invested a penny so many years ago,
no state savings schemes back then.
Yeah, it would have been worth it.
Be worth a bottle of whiskey.
Worth a lot. Do you remember he told us that equation, John? He's a great man. It comes up now and again. If you had put in so much so many years ago and it had accumulated now. But
I would say these days, especially boys, if they their communion money and they saved, I say it'd be going to PlayStations or Xboxes.
Yeah, today.
Or scooters or something like that.
Yeah. There's a great one there. I love that one. Look at that message in already. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. I love this. Our young lad bought 3 calves with his communion money and spent a bit in Smith's toys as well. Now, there's a clever boy.
Yeah. You know, he's savvy.
Yeah, he's invested. Yeah. 3 calves. There you go.
Is it me though, or you often find that with kids that grow up on a farm, they're savvy like that. Mm. They'll be buying, you know, and selling calves and sheep and that from an early age.
Yeah, because they have to. They're involved in the business.
Yeah, but it's really good business mind though, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's great training for them. Look, folks, what did you do with your communion money? Now, you're not going to tell me someone that didn't spend their communion money. I'm only having a crack about that. We don't need anything on that. But what I'd like you to tell me today is, do you remember what you spent your communion money on? Did you spend it on anything in particular? Can you remember that far back what you spent it on? And today, of course, you know, it's a different world altogether, what they buy and purchase. But what did you spend your communion money on? 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. We'd love to hear from you. It's a big occasion.
I think I was telling you I still have my rosary beads and my prayer book.
Have you?
Yep.
Really?
From my first communion. And I have a little chain that my uncle Robbie, God love him, or God rest him, should I say, he was a jeweller, and he gave me a little chain for my communion and confirmation with my name and the date on the back, and I still have that.
Is it? You are fantastic for holding on to stuff and keeping
it. Well, it's sentimental, you know, it was an important day, and you know, he went out of his way to do that for me. So it is a memory. It's not just any old chain.
I know that. And it's very special.
I think it threw my bag. I had a little white bag. I think that went away a couple of years ago. But
that's lovely. That's lovely. That is lovely that you have that stuff and keep it, you know.
And the rosary beads came with me, as you know, last year when I had to fly.
Louise hates flying.
I couldn't find my St. Christopher medal, so the rosary beads came with me.
Louise, she hates flying. Rosary beads and a glass or two, and you're away and you're on the flight and you're gone and you landed and you know no more about it. There's one there. I'm not going to say the name. I'll just say Michael still has his baptism money, never mind his communion money, says a listener there. Oh God, you wouldn't go for a pint with Michael, I'd say, for sure, whoever you are. We can't name the second name. In the name of God, we'd be in big trouble there if we get there. We'll just say Michael, but there you are, not alone. Communion money has that, Michael. He has his baptism money. But do you remember what you bought for your communion? We have our first communion this year with Ava. Ava's making her communion at the end of May this year, and she's the first of the grandchildren to make communion. So we're looking forward to that occasion.
She's
as well.
Suited and booted.
Oh, I think, yeah, done. And in Rome last week, we got the beads.
Oh,
and
lovely.
We were blessed by the man himself. So that's another little addition to the day itself. Now, here's another one coming into us. Keep them coming. I love your messages. Love to hear from listeners. I made my communion, listen to this. I made my communion 70 years ago. I got nothing, but I got 2 shillings for my confirmation, says Pauline. Oh, Pauline, I suppose it wasn't the thing back then. You know what I mean? It's not like today.
70
That's no
years
surprise.
Ago. Oh, my gosh.
My, oh, my.
She probably, what did you get for Christmas? Auntie probably didn't bring you a lot either, Pauline.
But 2 shillings for the confirmation, nothing for the communion there. And that was
What's
the thing.
2 shillings worth?
2 shillings. 2 shillings. A shilling was 5 pence. What is 5 pence? Am I right? No, shilling, hold on. I'm lost now. Now, yeah, now I'm lost. Now I'm lost in the currency market. What is it? How much is a shilling worth?
Would
12
a
pennies. Okay. There was 12 pennies in a shilling. Am I right? Aren't I? 12 pennies in an old shilling.
Would it have bought a lot back then? Like, you know, yeah, well, what prices
got,
were like.
If you got 2 shillings, it was a bit all right, I'm sure, for the confirmation. I think there was 12 pennies in a shilling.
Okay.
Yes? And how many shillings in a pound? Oh, God almighty, now I can't remember. Oh, now you have me all over the shop.
I haven't a clue.
Anyone out there, help us. How many pennies were there in an old shilling, and how many shillings in a pound? If you can, 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. I thought I'd remember that one off the cuff, but I just actually can't. I really, really can't. But today, communions are a big event, aren't they? Yeah. From the dress to the going out for the meal. Do children visit relatives still? Do you call to people to visit and with the child in the dress?
I was brought around to all my relatives, but we didn't do it. For our kids.
Yes.
Maybe the grandparents, that was it.
Maybe it's not a thing now. Do you visit the relatives? But, that's another point, yeah.
But I think back then when you visited the relatives, it was because you might have just had your immediate family and maybe went for a meal. So then you went round, like these days they throw parties for everybody.
Yeah.
And all the relatives come.
And people come rather than visiting. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, we visited it. When I made mine, we visited. And our children, when Jared and Sarah, we went visiting as well. But today, yeah, it's not, no. I suppose it's not such a thing. Here, they're flying into us here now. They're coming from everywhere. My daughter wore my communion medal and chain.
Ah, that's lovely.
Both
Love
dates
that.
Engraved on the back of it. 1981 and 2015. Oh, Eunice. That's lovely. That's really lovely. Isn't that a lovely touch?
I know
there?
My daughter, she had her own rosary beads, but she did bring my prayer book.
Okay. Mm. 12 That's pennies lovely. In an old shilling, says Caroline Burke in Beliver. Thank you, Caroline. Saving my bacon there again. Another listener, 20 shillings in the pound. So there you have it. So at that time, you know what I mean? It was a lot of money, you know, to get 2 shillings. Jerry, in Minalty, is it there? Oh, yeah. The money was thrown into the pram. Yeah, here, I have it, right? There's a lad in Minalty.
Right.
And he has the money that was thrown into the pram.
Oh, very good.
I have that one there. And there you go again on the currency. 240 pennies for £1, 20 shillings and 12 pennies in a shilling. Thank you indeed for that confirmation. I do appreciate it.
Did the boys, is it confirmation? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's confirmation. What were the lads that made either communion or confirmation? They used to have these big, massive rosettes. Do they still have them, the badges?
Will I tell you? Now you're talking.
The badges.
Now you're bringing me back. And I've left the boys out of this. I've been talking about girls mostly, but the boys are making the communion as well, and they look really lovely and are dressed up for the occasion as well. Yes, I wore a white rosette for my communion, right? A white one with a medal, a gold medal in the middle of it. And for my confirmation, it was a red one.
Oh,
it was a red rosette for the confirmation.
They were the colours, like?
They were the colours. White for the communion, red for the confirmation. Now you're bringing me back. And now you have me. Now you have me in a roll.
What was the rosettes for?
Well, I was sure that you were making your communion because the girls in the dresses were quite obvious. With the lads, you wouldn't be that obvious, to be honest.
Surely you wouldn't see a lad in a suit very often.
Well, I had short pants on me for my communion.
And a little
blazer, yeah. And my mother sent me down to get my hair cut twice. I was skinned. I have more hair today than I had back from my communion. That's no joking. She wasn't happy it was cut tight enough, so I had to go down and get it cut again. And I was missing my front teeth. All I want for Christmas. And
I had no front teeth.
And the other thing was this. Forget Louise, you really missed the kernel of the whole communion thing. Faith of our fathers. We will be tootle-lootle-loo, as Billy Connolly sang. Do you remember the procession, the Corpus Christi procession?
Oh, yeah.
And it was led by the girls and followed. There's Louise, there's somebody on to her about her communion money. Anyway, it was led by the girls in their beautiful dresses, and then the boys followed. You know what I mean? And I can still see the Corpus Christi with thousands of people out in the streets marching down Hardman's Gardens in Drogheda towards the Lord's Church, right? and that big procession going on, and we will be tootle tootle. Do you remember the tune, the hymn?
No, I thought that was a
we
kind of
will
a march.
Be true to thee till death, and everybody
in July.
Singing it. Yeah, no, this was the Corpus Christi.
Oh, right, okay.
This was the Corpus Christi.
Like one, right.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a funny version I've given you there, but to say the least. But you know the Corpus Christi song was played and everyone was out and it was a massive occasion, absolutely massive. I don't think today is there a Corpus Christi procession happens? If there is, no.
Oh, I doubt it.
No, and if it was, it'd be small. Mm. It's a reflection on the way the society in Ireland and everything has moved since those times.
I'm after having a memory now. You have to bring back a memory to me that I'd probably blocked out and I'll probably need counselling for now. I had a massive one of those huge boomerang dresses. You know, one of those like you see them now probably on toilets that you put the toilet paper under. You know, those went really out and it was all lace. And we were late for the first communion and we had to come in a side way up at the railings because I was doing a first reading or something.
Okay.
And the church was packed.
You were late, were you, Louise?
Yeah,
were you late?
Late. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
you were
late. I played my mother. Yeah, anyway, I fell and the dress went flying over my head. And everyone thought me underwear. I'm mortified. Yeah, thanks, Jerry, I think I need counselling after that. Everybody, hundreds of people from the gallery and everything, and the dress just went flying over because it was a bouncy dress and it went flying over my head.
Arsop, dress over the head. There you go, Louise.
Front of the altar.
I'm sorry for traumatising you again by bringing that back. Listen to this one. My mother kept my first communion dress and she passed away 25 years ago and I've kept it since. I'll be turning 50 this year and I have my first communion dress, my confirmation dress and my 21st dress purely for sentimental reasons because my mother was with me for those special occasions. They are cherished memories, Jerry.
Lovely.
Ah, isn't that absolutely lovely? Oh, thank you for all your communion memories. Let's dip into a few more of them. Yes, Jerry, there is still a Corpus Christi procession, but not around the town. There you are, Louise. So it does still happen. I wonder where's that coming from? Let us know where you are, where that happens. And I wonder where the procession happens, but not around the town. I clearly remember, says another listener, my first communion day. It was 1962. I gave my money to Mammy, happy to give it to her. 20 shillings, just to remind you, Jerry, 240 pennies in a pound. Thank you for that. Weren't you very... You gave it, handed it up to your mother. That's the way it was. Here's another one coming. I got 6 pence for communion, went into a shop on the way home and got a quarter of jelly sweets and gulped them all down before I got to the house. I was massively sick for 2 days. My poor mam couldn't make out what made me sick. Told her before she passed away, says the listener. God almighty, the memories. You see the way the things that stick in your mind about the communion. But you know, I have to say... I have vague enough memories of it, but when you said that to me, the haircut was one. Certainly, going to visit relatives was another as well. And the badges, as Mrs. Brown said, the little white badge, it was an important thing. It really, really was.
And where you went, a lot of those places have closed. You know, if you went for a little meal in a hotel or a coffee shop or a restaurant, I'm sure there's a lot that's closed since.
I can tell you there was no meal. We went home and had our dinner.
We went to what's now the New Grange Hotel. Can't remember what it used to be.
Yes.
And I had that thing for the first time. You know the way you get Coke or orange and you add it to the ice cream?
A Coke float.
Coke float, as that was called.
Ah. You see that? That was the first time for your communion, was it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Oh, the memories are flowing into us about your communions. I can remember, Jerry, says a listener, my first communion 73 years ago. I'm being brought to my lovely granny's and then to my godmother, who had a little cardboard shop front with 3 lovely little hankies in it. Made my day. The procession in St. Mary's Parish in Navan. The procession happens in St. Mary's Parish in Navan. That's that listener back to us again, but remembering their community day. Little cardboard and 3 lovely little hankies in it. Hi, Jerry. Really enjoying the show. I have my communion dress, veil and prayer book 60 years ago this year. Didn't have a family car, but Dad hired a Beetle for the day and we went to Carlingford. Such happy memories. And Louise, the New Grange Hotel was known as the Russell Arms. That's where you were for your communion. So there you go.
Great.
Confirmed
Thank
by
you.
A listener to us. Thank you very much indeed. Late Lunch, LMFM Radio, the Big O, Roy Orbison. He has links going back years and years with us here in the Northeast. Yes, he performed back in the 60s and 70s in County Louth, in Drogheda and Dundalk. Well, he's long gone at this stage, but his music lives on, and especially through the wonderful voice of Dean Bourne, who's bringing his wonderful Roy Orbison show to Drogheda, the TLT, on the 19th of April. It's called Roy Orbison Reborn, and Dean joins me on the line. Afternoon, Dean.
G'day, Jerry. Thanks for having me on the show.
Not at all. Delighted to chat to you this afternoon. That accent and the greeting gives it away. You are from Australia. So tell me, please, and tell my listeners, how did you ever start to impersonate Roy Orbison? Where did that begin?
When I was quite young, I mean, my father was a wonderful singer here in Australia, and I grew up in a very musical home. I heard Roy's voice when I was a young boy, maybe, you know, around 10 years old, something like that. And I started doing talent quests, and I would sing Crying, one of Roy's biggest songs. And it was very common for people to tell me how much I sounded like Roy. You know, it was a little bit of luck. I did a show here in Australia called Follow That Dream, which I went on to win as Roy Orbison. And I just had been very, very lucky and fortunate, and had a wonderful career performing all of Roy's music, and it's timeless. It's everything. He was just an incredible artist, and I think sometimes too his voice overshadowed how good a songwriter he was. I mean, we're still here talking about Roy all these years later. I mean, passed away back in 1988 now, so it's hard to believe. It's, you know, 40-odd years. It's just amazing.
But you were regarded as the number one impersonator in the world of Roy Orbison. That is some accolade. That's something that's really special.
You know, I get a little bit embarrassed about it as a singer, and you know, it's certainly not a label that I've put on myself, but other people have said that. And, you know, at the end of the day, to me, it's not about who the best is, or it's just about my interpretation of Roy's music, and people that come and get, you know, so much enjoyment out of that. And I think his music just took people back. And I mean, I've had people after the shows come up to me, and they're in tears, and they just, you know, it just takes people back to a time and place in their life, and, you know, and they just relive those memories over and over. And for me, it's something that I've never ever taken for granted. I feel very fortunate and blessed that I'm able to do what I do, and, you know, and travel, you know, to beautiful places like Ireland, and live out my dream. It is a dream.
But besides the generations who lived during his era, you have brought a whole new generation and generations of people to Roy Orbison and his music.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I have, and other people also that, you know, that perform his music. And, you know, we're seeing more and more younger generations coming along to the show, and they may not, you know, they may have been, you know, taken along by mum or dad or nan or pop, and they may not have known who Roy Orbison was, but certainly after the show they do, and I think it's like, oh, you know, Pretty Woman, now I know who Roy Orbison is. It's that kind of a, you know, a reaction. And then, of course, you have the Travelling Wilburys, with that generation there in the you know, the late 80s, which they just came along. They were a super band. And then, you know, those people were then exposed to Roy again, and how incredible he was as a singer, and how much he was admired by, you know, the best artists in the whole world, and still to this day.
You have the voice, without doubt. The looks, what about the looks? Do you feel, you know, you immerse yourself as Roy Orbison? If you look back at him in his day and him performing and that, do you revert to that by times, or are you too long at this stage that you have that sorted?
That's a really good question. When I perform as Roy, I talk like I do now. I don't talk like an American, or I never say, you know, this is a song that I did, or, you know, I try to tell a story, and I do get dressed up and you know, and my hair and all the suits and guitars and guitar straps. I try to make it visually, you know, authentic, but I'm still Dean Bourne on stage, and it's my interpretation of Roy. You know, I have a great respect for Roy's music, and it's something that I've never taken for granted, or I never make fun of it in any way. I take it very seriously, and And I feel a real closeness to Roy every time I perform. It's a very, very strange thing, but yeah, that's how I sort of deal with that. But you know, the accolades and the people that come up here after the show, and it's so worth it. I'm just consider myself very, very lucky.
For sure, but you're making the most of it and you're keeping his music and memories alive. When you look at his repertoire of music and songs, it really is extensive. I'm going to put you on the spot now, and I don't know whether you'll be able to answer this for me. If you were to pick one Roy Orbison song that means most to you or your favourite song, what would it be?
It would be Crying. There are many songs, and it is very, very hard to pick, but it's the first song that I ever heard Roy sing, and it's just one of those songs that when you start singing it, people clap. It's just an incredible song. It has so much meaning for different people, but the voice and just the string sections and how he wrote. He wrote very much like no one else. He didn't really follow the traditional writing in a sense where you would have, a verse, a chorus, a bridge, and then, chorus and then end the song. He just wrote how he wanted to write, and he was one of the greatest of all time, certainly was.
Oh, he really was. Anyway, you toured here in 2019 and it was a sellout success all over the country, and I just want to mention again you're coming back to the TLT in Drogheda on Friday the 19th of April. It's going to be a simply wonderful, wonderful show. I know you're busy before that back home in Australia, but we're looking forward to welcoming you back to Ireland, Dean.
I'm looking forward to coming back. What a beautiful country you live in, and I've been fortunate. This will be my third tour, and I just can't wait to come back. I'm with my wife as well, and we've met so many lovely people and friends that we've made long life friends with, and I can't wait to come back. I'm looking forward to seeing all the people again and coming out and seeing the show, and make sure you come and say good day.
For today, Dean Byrne, thank you so much for joining me on Late Lunch, and we're going to finish now with one of Roy Orbison's greats that you can hear Dean perform all over Ireland, but especially in the TLT Drogheda on Friday the 19th of April. Dean, good day to you.
God bless, Jerry. Thank you so much, mate. Bye.
Brilliant. Yes, Mr. Roy Orbison and Pretty Woman and Your Late Lunch. Dean Byrne bringing his Roy Orbison show to the TLT in Drogheda on Friday week, the 19th of April. He is simply brilliant, that guy, regarded as the best in the world. Louise, when I was talking to Dean there, I did mention he played Roy back in the late 60s in Dundalk and Drogheda. I know he stayed in the White Horse Hotel in Drogheda, right?
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
It's the Marcy now. You know, the whole, it was Walker's at one stage. Right in the centre of town. Right in the centre of Drogheda. You know what I mean? The White Horse Hotel. People would know what I'm talking about. Across from the church.
Okay.
The hotel there. And it is known as the Marcy now. Anyway, he was staying there. Right? And they had a ballroom. The White Horse Hotel had a ballroom. I'm not sure whether he played, but he could have played in the Abbey Ballroom, Drogheda, wherever he played. Anyway, he wore these amazing cowboy boots, Roy Orbison.
Right.
Beautiful, like state of the art. Remember, late 60s in Drogheda, wouldn't be a few, much money about whatever. But a well-known local character from the world of music as well was at his gig or whatever and saw Roy with the boots. Anyway, Roy stayed overnight and he woke up the next morning. His boots were gone.
No way.
Yeah. Roy Orbison's boots were gone.
From the room.
Well, they were gone wherever they went from. He had no boots. He was going mad. His prized cowboy boots Roy Orbison had been taken, lifted somewhere in the White Horse Hotel. Anyway, he had to toddle
they
off.
They were borrowed.
And they were taken. Anyway, he had to toddle off and continue on his tour. Anyway, about a month or 6 weeks later, this well-known local character in the world of music appeared at a gig himself. And guess what? He was wearing the most beautiful pair of American cowboy boots. Now, I'm not saying...
Knockoffs. They were knockoffs.
I'm not saying... I'm not putting two and two together, but I am actually. Roy never knew where his boots went, but they were safely minded in Drogheda by somebody who shall remain nameless.
I wonder where
they
are
now. That is a true story. That, well, God only knows, or where he is or whatever. But that is a true story, an addendum to the Roy Orbison story. These boots were made for walking for sure. Thanks so much to Jimmy Dooley. He's been in touch to say, Jerry, the White Horse Hotel ballroom was called the Palm Court at the time. And yes, Roy Orbison did play the Abbey Ballroom as well. Thank you indeed for that, Jim. Much appreciated. Love, Roy. And I did see him when he was in Drogheda. He was first class. That comes in from Josie this afternoon. Back to your communion stories, and they're absolutely lovely, I have to say. Nancy Lynch has been on from RD. Hello, Nancy. Lovely to hear from you today. Made her communion 83 years ago. RD Primary School. Got 7 and 6 for her confirmation. Got nothing for the communion. Oh, Nancy. Nancy, come on. And she said, Jerry, the boys also wore ribbon sashes to match their rosettes back then. Thanks indeed for that. Dermot from Navan is on the line, and he has a lovely generational story as well. Dermot, thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Jerry.
Dermot, you made your communion back, when did you make it? Do you know the exact date you made it?
Yes, the 7th of May 55.
Oh my God, we're going back a bit there as well, aren't we? And you wore a medal, did you? You wore that rosette and medal, did you? Or was it just a medal?
No, I wore a rosette and a medal.
Okay.
And the medal was given to me by my uncle, my mother's sister, who was a priest, who came home from America with the medal for me.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and that has been passed down the generations to my son and now to my 5 grandsons.
So
the girls didn't wear it at all.
Oh, well, listen, hold on. It was a boy thing anyway in the start with you, so we don't have to worry about that. But you're saying to me that you passed it, your son wore it for his communion, and your grandsons have all worn that same medal?
So far, yeah. There's one more now to make his communion.
Ah, Dermot. That is a really, really lovely story, I'd say. You must be so proud that, you know, the distance the medal came from America and how you got it in the first place, and now it has moved along through the years. When they're done with, I presume the medal is returned to you, is it?
It is indeed, yes.
Right, so you keep it
safe. What am I going to do with it in the end? I don't know.
Well, now, that's for another day. But you have one more grandson to wear that medal. That has to be done first. And then I'm sure your son would take it, you know what I mean, and keep it and treasure it. So that'll be treasured forever, Dermot.
It will indeed, yes, without a doubt.
Ah, it certainly will. Listen, it's lovely to talk to you today. Memories of your communion. It's changed, though, hasn't it? By God, it's a different kettle of fish communion today compared to when you made it.
Oh, it's completely different today, yes. Without a doubt. I'll go to the hotel and have a meal. I was lucky in my day that all the family came to the house because they made a big fuss over me for some reason. Don't ask me why. As my sister said, I had a privileged lifestyle. How can you pick one child out of 6 to have a privileged lifestyle? I don't know.
Oh, you were the golden child, you see, Dermot. That's it.
I'm something anyway.
Yeah, you were indeed. But it all happened in your house. People came there. And did you get any cash or anything or any gifts?
I got the usual, the little holy pictures and the cup and cylinders. I asked my mother afterwards how much did I make, and she told me 4 and 3 pence. It was 4 shillings and 3 pence.
And did you get any of it yourself, or did it just go into the household income?
I would have went into the household income. Yeah. Sure, I wouldn't have been interested in money. Yeah,
I know. And that's the way it worked back then. Fantastic. Listen, Dermot, you're so good to chat to me today. Thanks so much. Enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks, Gary.
Not at all. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Dermot and Navin this afternoon with his community memories and the medal being handed on from generation to generation. It is lovely. It really is. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Coming up shortly on the show, you do know that the skin is the largest organ on the body. It certainly is. Well, Leanne Brown, she is the owner of Bare Skin Wellness based in County Meath. She's joining me shortly. I'll come back to your communion stuff and back to the Roy Orbison as well. I promise you later on the show. But I am joined in studio now by a woman I'm looking forward to having a chat with. When I tell you that she's a mum of three young boys, she's a teacher of home economics, and she now has a business called Bare Skin Wellness. I'm delighted to say hello to Leanne Brown. Brown, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Delighted to be here.
Well, they say give a busy woman a task and you'll have it done. You certainly epitomise that, may I say.
Yeah. Because you're I don't seem to know how to sit quietly and do nothing.
Where has this come from, the whole area of the skin and looking after our skin?
Okay, so, well, my background is home economics.
Okay.
And I've been teaching for 17 years.
Yes.
So I've always been very focused on nutrition and what we put into our body and our health. And when I was having my children, so I had a break where I had maternity leave and parental leave and some time off. And I spent a lot of that time really focusing on trying to be as natural as possible with them, looking at the products, not just the foods that we were eating, but the products we were using, whether it was, you know, skincare products, products around the house, all that, and the chemicals that are in them and how they're affecting the body and health as well. I kind of, you know, we're old, but it's nice for the children to have a clean slate and keep them as healthy as possible.
But please tell me it's never too late.
Don't say it's never too late. I'll get you some of my products, Jerry, you'll be grand.
It'll have to work a miracle, may I say, on me, this weathered visage you're looking at here. But on a serious note, like,
yes,
there are a plethora of products out,
yes,
there, commercial products, you know, this, mm-hmm, more than anybody on the shelf. What differentiates you and your products?
Well, I like to focus on keeping my products free from hormone disrupting chemicals. That became really a focus for me and my family, to keep products that interfere with our hormonal balance. I was pregnant and breastfeeding 3 times in a row. I've pretty much spent the last 9 years pregnant or breastfeeding or both, you know, and hormones are such a key part of that. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't using things on my body that were going to affect me, my children, and all that. I also wanted to use products on the kids, whether it was for their skin, you know, in the bath, on their nappy, you know, all those kinds of products. And they needed to be, I didn't want anything that was going to harm them. I wanted it to be effective. And to be honest, I couldn't find what I was looking for in the shops. So I did I'd be good in the kitchen anyway with the home ec background.
Yes.
So I started mixing together some bits and bobs of my own. And in the effort to try and get as natural as possible, I came across tallow. Now, tallow is about as natural as it gets. It's an animal product,
yes,
which can be a bit controversial. However, when we go back to, if we look at it ancestrally, we go back to how our grandparents and our great grandparents used to do things. They would have used the beef fat for everything. There was a lot of nose to tail kind of approach to food and nutrition and,
yes,
and this. So it's about using every part of the animal, not just the meat, but the fat for cooking. They used to use the fat for making candles and they used it as skincare. You know, the men would come in from the farm or the building site or whatever it was, and they would take a dollop of the dripping jar and they'd rub it into their hands and soften up the hands. You know, it was the old fashioned way of skincare before we had commercialized skincare. So you're talking about going really back to basics and back to history and back to our roots. And that's where I found tallow. It is as natural as it gets, as long as it's sourced correctly. So as long as it's organic, it's grass fed and Irish, we've the best beef in the world, you know.
Now you won't smell like a fillet steak, I take it.
Not if you're using my products.
I understand this.
Yeah.
Because you bring the magic and add the magic,
exactly,
to it.
Exactly, yeah.
But everything you bring to it, yeah, I see you're a passion for local,
mm-hmm,
for natural,
absolutely,
no nasties, all that type,
yes,
of stuff. That is your philosophy.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So I would purify it to make sure that it doesn't have a smell to it. And that's a long, slow process. We don't want to oxidate the fats. We don't want to damage the nutrients in any way. So you take your time over that and you really put the effort into making sure it's pure and it's clean and it's the best sourced fat as well. And yeah, I would add essential oils to it and I would blend it and create formulas formulas that really work for the skin.
You've gone and done another degree. You know, you really
I wish I had the certs to prove it, but it has been a labour of love, of years of love and work and passion, yeah, to turn it into the business that it is now. And I hope the business it's going to be in the future as well.
It's a really great news story. It is.
Thank you.
But there's been a lot of time and effort and you name it going into this. So you have a, I was just looking, you have quite a range of products.
I do.
Don't you?
I do.
For somebody, you know, that's getting going, if you like to say, in this business.
So
give us an example of, you know, talk about the face for a moment. And the face, you're of course. Is.
Absolutely. Well, I don't just have animal tallow-based products. I have a plant-based range as well.
You do?
And that would include, I have cleansing balms. So for the ladies who wear makeup, it's great for taking off makeup. But I have three small boys who love to dress up as well. It's great for face paint, gets every trace of it off, and it's totally safe to use on kids. So I love that about it, because, you know, kids love a bit of face paint and, you know, you really need to get in there and get that stuff off. So I have cleansing balm, I have a moisturiser. My tallow balm is a really versatile product. You can use that as a cleansing balm, take your makeup off. You can use it as your moisturiser. You can use it on the baby's bum. You know, you can use it really for, it's great for sunburn and rashes, and, you know, it really does soothe the skin. It's a great product. But I have body oils, I have face serums, I have a beard oil for the boys. But I also have a product that's great for muscle aches and pains, a massage balm that has arnica in it. So it's nice and anti-inflammatory. It helps to soothe aches and pains. So I love a bit of that after the gym, you know. So yeah, and a magnesium lotion. Actually, people love the magnesium lotion. It's great to help you sleep. It's great to help reduce stress and kind of bring you into a nice restful zone at bedtime in particular. So that's a really nice one too. It's really popular.
You're going on and on there. What I mean is, in the best possible sense, it shows you the extent and the range that you have created from the small business. You know, it's wonderful. What does hormone safe mean? Because I wanted to ask you about that, because you talk about this a lot, I see, on your website as well. What is that?
Well, it was what I was looking for with my kids. Something that's not going to affect our hormones. So it's not about adding hormones or anything like that. It's about being safe for your body's natural hormonal balance. In other words, we don't have hormone disrupting chemicals, which really are in the vast majority of our personal care items out there. If you look at the label, I mean, we're very used to looking at food labels and analysing them, but we don't often do that with our personal care. But there's a long list of chemicals that we can't pronounce and, you know, and don't really understand what they are, where they come from or what they do. So a lot of those are hormone disruptors. So they might interfere with whether it's your reproductive hormones or your sleep hormones, or, you know, there's a lot of body processes that rely on efficient hormonal production, and we really need to take care of that balance. Once the hormones go out of balance, it can affect everything from our moods, our sleep, our skin, our health, and our long-term health as well. You know, there's a lot of long-term chronic illnesses that are affected by hormones too.
You're here today because Laura Amada mentioned you in an interview I had with Laura recently, and we always have our ears pricked up to see, and that's why you're here with us today, because you fit in with Laura's philosophy completely.
And Laura's philosophy is right up my street too. I use her juices daily.
You know, there's a real synergy there between you as well. Coming back to, you know, developing the products, let's go back and step back there. And it's to say again, you have the tallow, you have the plant-based, and hormone safe is so important to you.
Yes.
What was the first product you developed?
Good question. Good question. It was my tallow and honey balm. Which is blended with local honey, and local honey is so good for your health internally, but it's really great for the skin too. It's antiviral, antifungal. So yeah, when you apply that to the skin, if especially skin that might be prone to infection, or if it's a broken open wound, a rash, something like that. So I blended my tallow with the raw honey and added in some plant magic, a bit of calendula in there as well, and it just became this magnificent skin elixir that was so good. good for. I was using it on the baby's bum. And yeah, because that can get awfully fungally down there. And, you know, not to get too TMI about it. But you can get very sore, broken skin there. And it can be prone to infection and that. So I found that a really effective thing for me to use. And that's where I started using kind of, things
like that.
So that's
like where that. It began. It began with that.
Yes. And it began as a family product. And that's what I want my range to be. Something that you can use, not just on yourself for your face, but something you can carry in your handbag and whip out when the kids get a graze on their knee, or you're changing the baby's bum and you need a quick something there, or you, whatever it is, whatever age and stage your kids, your family are at, there's something to use for whatever the issue is. Yeah.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you know what I'm talking about here, because when you scale up and scalability to hold on to that, you know what I mean? That USP that you have, that you say there. Look, besides, you know, developing the products, you have to get, of course, containers, packaging.
Oh, yeah.
You then have to, you know, market this to people and get it out there.
Yeah.
Did you said it was a family thing first. Did you test it on other, did you give it to other people to try?
Oh,
you
know? Family and friends. Yes. They're always my guinea pigs.
They're the ones.
Always.
So they're your testing laboratory for all this stuff.
Everything,
And then you see, you understand then it works and you get the feedback from them. But how do you go about this, you know, getting the containers and the packaging and all this?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, sustainability is at the heart of everything nowadays. And it was really important for me, especially to move away from plastic. Plastic is one of the number one hormone disruptors out there. And that leaches into our packaging, you know. So I try and avoid that as much as possible. So glass was key for me for packaging, and paper as well, where I could use cardboard packaging too. So I try to be as sustainable as possible. Now, that's expensive, you know, in this, because we're really only moving towards that now. We're not there yet that it's widely available and easy to get or cheap to get hold of. So, you know, that's a big expense, but one that I believe is really worth having. And I try to source everything from local businesses, from Irish businesses, you know, as well, as much as possible. And again, that's another hard thing to do, but as far as possible. Yeah.
So where are you selling? Are you selling online? Yes. Do you go to any events? What do you do? How
Both.
Do you sell your product? Is it stocked anywhere?
Well, I have, my website is my main selling place. So I have www.bareskinwellness.com, and so I sell there and I ship throughout the country. But I try to get face to face with people as much as possible, because skincare is one of those things. It's a real sensory experience for people. Nobody likes to buy skincare that they haven't tried first or smelled first or felt first, you know. So I do try and get out face to face at events, markets. Actually, there's a great market here in Drogheda, the Scotch Hall Cottage Market is a great one that I would love to go to sometimes. And it's a great place for people to meet you face to face and get to know you. I mean, at the end of the day, you are your business, and people want to entrust their skincare to you, their children's skincare to you. It's great to get to know people on a one-on-one basis, and markets and fairs are a great place to do that. So I try and do them as much as I can, but it's hard because I do also still work. I'm still working in the secondary school nearby, and I I have three kids, so it's tough to fit it all in. But I try and get maybe two markets a month, and then when the school summer holidays come along, I'm, you know, can get involved as much.
God bless the teaching holidays. You see the benefit. There are benefits there for sure. But like, where do you see this? I'm curious about this now. You know, you are at a point here where to go and move on and grow and become bigger. Is that your aim? Is that what you want to do? How big do you want to become? You know, like, I suppose,
am I the next L'Oreal?
Yes, this is what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And we have you in studio in late lunch today, and the story began.
And
oh,
I was
my
here
God.
On day one.
Yeah. You know, you know what I'm getting at.
I do.
Where do you
I do.
See this?
Well, do you know what? There's actually I have some great friends and mentors within the Irish skincare business, the small business. I hate using the term small business, because we're so much more than that. But there are some ladies making amazing strides in the business, and they, like, if you've ever seen the brand The Forager, Phoebe's on TV now and she does workshops. There's a great girl to look at as an example of how you can start small and really grow to exponential levels. And I love giving, you know, as much time and energy into small businesses as possible. There's so much value there. I don't want to stay small, but I do want to stay reachable, affordable, and Irish. You know, I don't want a large scale manufacturer in another country. I want to stay handcrafted, and I want to stay Irish, you know? Yeah,
it's great to hear, you know, and it's a noble wish that you have to do. Yeah. But sometimes things just go, you know, that big that, you know, it's difficult to do.
Well, I won't complain if it does.
No,
get that big,
and don't do that. Don't for sure. But look, as I say, this is an organic, you know, business that's moving and growing, and, you know, more people are experiencing what you have as well. And, you know, the customers are going to dictate, you know, how big or whatever this grows to. You do all this. You make the stuff.
I do.
You package it.
Yes. Yeah.
You send it out to customers.
Yeah. Oh, you have to wear so many hats as a small business owner. You're your social media person. You're your marketing person. You're the formulator, the creator, the packager, the shipper. You're everything. The graphic designer. Yeah. Everything.
Do you get a day off?
No. I wouldn't know what to do with one. Oh dear.
But like this is what it is, and where it's at and what you have to do as well. The feedback you've been getting, you must be delighted with.
I really am. I really, it's been nothing but positive.
Yeah.
And the best thing is when someone says to me, oh, I use that on, we had this chronic skin condition, you know, whatever it is, eczema, psoriasis, whatever the issue was, and it stopped it. It worked for them. I mean, these are individual cases, but they've worked for them, and it's fantastic to see. And it really is what keeps me going on the days where it's hard work and you're tired, and that is what keeps me going. People coming back to me and saying, thank you for creating this. You know, we love it.
So besides looking amazing, may
I'd
say,
like to think so.
And all you mentioned there, there are many applications for the various products that you produce.
Yes.
If people listening to us today want to find out more about you, check you out, just give the details again.
Okay, so www.bearskinwellness.com is my website, but I'd be most active, I think, on Instagram, which is at bear.skin.wellness, B-A-R-E,
yes,
like bearskin. And that's where you'll find me most of the time, and I'm always open to messages from people if they have questions, or, you know, if they want to ask about their particular recommendations or anything like that. I'm always happy to chat to people there.
So beauty, skin matters, care, all that under the one umbrella.
Absolutely.
With Leanne Brown at Bear, B-A-R-E, Bear Skin Wellness. All the information is there.
Thank you so much.
I think you're fantastic. I
really
do.
It.
Like, you know, you are a busy woman, busy mum, teaching, you have your home and everything else. And here you are driving on with this wonderful business. I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you so much.
It's been great so far. And I can only see this just going up there into the stratosphere. And whatever happens, wherever it takes you, good luck to you.
I appreciate
with it.
That
you're
so
fantastic.
Much, Jerry.
Thank you for dropping into us today, Leanne Brown.
Thank you.
Amy Grant and Big Yellow Taxi on Your Late Lunch this Thursday afternoon. Isn't Leanne Brown lovely? She is indeed. Bear Skin Wellness is her business, based in Meath. That's B-A-R-E. Frankie's been on for Summer Hill saying, I go to the swimming pool twice a week, and when I go to the steam room, I put on a rub of honey, and I'm doing this for years and I love it. Thanks, Frankie, for that. Hi, Jerry. Loving the show today. Louise, join me here, please. Great memories. Always love the show, by the way. When Louise mentioned her uncle Robbie, it brought me way back. He gave me a beautiful medal for my first communion. He and her aunt Rosaline were my next door neighbours when I was growing up. There you go. Lovely, lovely people. Always love the banter with Louise and yourself. Thank you. That comes in from Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
In Navan this afternoon. That's a lovely personal one for you there, isn't it? Desi Howard's been on. Hi, Desi. Good to hear from you. Our daughter, Jerry, bought Jim Hand's house in Pierce Park. Now, Jim Hand was the music impresario, as you know, Louise. And Roy Orbison, among others, great stars, sang in that house. That's it. He did indeed, Desi.
Great house party.
Oh, listen. And Desi says, we had many a good night in it before my daughter sold up and moved on. Lovely, lovely, lovely to hear from you. Louise, will you give that a spin there?
Yep.
Kate from Carrickmacross has sent us in this voice message. Let's have a listen.
I remember my first communion. It was 1976. I remember it being very sad because my dad had passed away 6 weeks before it, and Mam had five girls. I was the oldest and she was pregnant. Then she had a wee boy. But I remember getting lots of money, and my wee net bag wasn't fit to hold all the money. And I bought a wardrobe, a chest of drawers and a locker to store all the five girls' clothes. look at, that was life. I remember having a good day with loads of sweets as well.
Ah, Kate. Kate, oh, you're tugging at our heartstrings now, Kate.
Heart of gold.
Oh, isn't that? And that was the way, you know, that was the way back then. What a lovely, lovely kindness that message is. Thank you so much for sending it in to us. Michelle Howard, the great Michelle Howard, has been on to us. Hi, Michelle. Fantastic listener to LMFM and Late Lunch. Hi, Jerry. You're definitely bringing back memories from my first communion. I had the measles, Michelle, and was put in quarantine. No. Was put in quarantine in the old school hall in Stamullen, away from all my pals in the church. 45 years ago it is, Jerry. Never, Michelle. Come on, you're joking us. Michelle, you'll have to put that right. You have to have it.
She still get her communion.
Oh, she would have got her communion, but had to be in quarantine with the measles. Oh, my God.
Not over Zoom anyway.
Oh, jeepers almighty. Yeah, you'll have to do something to make up for that, Michelle. Have a reunion. Communion reunion. What about that, Michelle? A communion reunion. I like it. Isn't that good?
You'll be able to sing your song that you're singing earlier. The toodle-oodle-oodles.
We will be true till D till death. You thought I was singing something from the 12th of July.
I did.
In the name of God.
It sounds like a march.
I'm going to bless myself five times here. So I am. I have to get Billy Connolly out because Billy did a wonderful parody on that. We'll see if we can get out for the comedy tomorrow, although I had a brilliant one lined up with Jarlett Regan. But anyway, we can work around those anyway. We'll have to get Billy back to remind you about communion in Glasgow. And he was a wee lad and his two aunts were rearing him in the Catholic Church. There you go. Late Lunch LMFM Radio. Oh, Louise, the communion comments, they just keep coming and coming, don't they? And the Roy Orbison ones, I have to say as well. On Roy Orbison, Louise, listen to these couple, okay? Jerry, I just missed the start of your show. I was at Roy Orbison in the White Horse Hotel, but what year was it? About 50 years ago, says Rita this afternoon. Late 60s, I believe it was. Pat Donaghy, hello Pat, great listener as well, fantastic woman. Jerry, just to let you know, Roy Orbison also played the Ashling Ballroom in Clotterhead, Louise, when he was here. And John's been on to say, this is my favourite of the day. The story about the boots. Didn't I tell you about Roy's boots being robbed? Roy Orbison's boots were robbed when he stayed in the White House. John was saying, them boots are still in Drogheda.
Oh, no way.
And I'm not going to mention just anything else there. There's a little more there. Them boots.
They'd be worth a fortune.
Absolutely. You could be in court either.
Roy Orbison memorabilia.
You could be in court for robbing
him.
It couldn't happen at this stage.
Roy
anyway,
might
John,
have actually given permission that night. You know, you wouldn't know.
There you are. And you were probably, Louise was looking at me at times thinking, is that for telling the yarn there? Or what is he telling? What's he on about today? Tell the truth. You do probably at times think, is he telling the yarn?
All the
that
time.
let me give up. That verifies my story. Them boots are still in Drogheda, says John. There you go. And you're right.
That's so interesting.
Talk about being
worth
money.
Send us a picture.
John, tell us a bit more. I know, I have a name. I know the name. I actually know the person who borrowed them. Did you say they were borrowed?
Who borrowed them all those years ago.
Yeah, famous character. Anyway, there you go. They might have changed hands since. It's that time of Late Lunch, Louise. Give it a spin there.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
My artists of the week this week on Late Lunch are UB40, as you know, and picking a song today. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I was thinking about what I mentioned earlier in the week, and of course, Chrissy Hynde was a huge player in their fame and fortune because she saw them, I told you this, playing in a pub in Birmingham, and she invited them to join herself and the Pretenders on stage, and look, UB40 just took off from there. And in fairness to her, they worked with Chrissy Hynde to produce a wonderful song. It's a cover originally recorded by Sonny and Cher back in 1965, and a huge hit it was. Went to number one in the United States, sold millions over there, certified gold, number one in the UK. And then much later, 1985, UB40 up with Chrissy Hynde and re-recorded the song that shot to number one once more. Yes, from our artist of the week, UB40. And Miss Chrissy Hynde, it's I Got You, Babe. Whoever has those boots has the babe, all right.
They say we're young and we don't know, won't find
QB40, my artist of the week, accompanied by Miss Chrissy Hind. And I've got you, babe. John's been on to say, made my communion about 50 years ago. All the boys had the same haircut, Jerry. Every house must have had the same bowl. Put the bowl around the head, round with the scissors, haircut's the same. Love it, John. Thank you so much to you all who've been in touch with us today on the communion front. Final break of the day on the way. And Lisa Brown is joining me next. She's a primary school teacher for the last 15 years. And she firmly believes that children from 9 to 12 need assistance. There's a gap in the market, she believes. We're going to hear more about it now. We had Leanne Brown with us a little bit earlier on, and we're finishing with another Brown on the show today. Lisa Brown. Lisa, welcome to Late Lunch.
Thank you, Jerry. Thanks very much.
Not at all. I mentioned there just before the break, you've been teaching for 15 years and you're organising this My Mind and Me workshop for 9 to 12-year-olds. You see a need for this. What's missing? What gap are you filling?
Well, I just kind of feel from being a teacher for many years, Jerry, that there is a lot of children that are suffering with anxiety at the moment, and it seems to be a big issue at the moment in schools and working with children that are really suffering with their mental health. So I kind of want to be a support for children and for families to help them promote positive mental health in their children and to be a support for them.
And you believe that 9 to 12-year-olds need this? You know, it's a fairly young age. I know they're approaching the teens or that as well. But are you seeing it in a practical sense that children need, you know, what you're going to deliver?
Yes, absolutely. Like they say from, you know, science that the inner critic can come in children as young as the age of 9. And like, and I was even shocked in my studies when I was doing that. So like, we need to get in and educate the children, and I feel like this is something that's not like really being taught in our curriculum at the moment. So it's definitely something that I feel needs to come into schools an awful lot more, and a lot more time in our curriculum needs to be brought in about educating children on their mental health and their emotions and their feelings. And yeah, so it's something that I feel that there's a real need, and I feel that a lot of parents out there are looking for this support, as there's not a lot of support out there for children that are suffering with their mental health.
That inner critic voice you talk about, you say begins at 9 years of age.
Yes,
what is
yes.
that? Is that when I talk to myself all the time, or this little voice in my head talks to me? You know, I understand it. You know what I mean? Is it that voice that talks, you know, when we have time alone and we're reflecting or whatever? Is that what you're
exactly.
talking about? Yes.
Exactly. So, like, what I'm trying to promote to children is to teach them that everybody has this inner voice. Like, even adults have this inner voice. And what we want to teach them, that instead of having this inner critic, that we have this inner friend. So we want to befriend ourselves, and we want to be nice to ourselves. And we're actually teaching kids, and you'd be amazed, Jerry, when I do this, because I obviously do this in schools as well at the moment as part of my role as a teacher. You would be amazed that when you actually ask children about what's their self-talk, what's their inner critic — I was actually only teaching this for the last hour in school today — what is their inner voice? Like, they don't understand it. So when they don't understand this, they're dealing with all of this and they're not speaking about it. And this is what causes the anxiety to come in, because they're saying bad things to themselves. They're saying that they're no good. They're saying that they can't do this, that their friends are better than them. And they really believe this. So that's teaching them that that's your inner critic. And if we don't work on this with children, unfortunately, it gets worse and it becomes an inner bully nearly, where it's like a bully inside their mind. And I really believe that this is something that really, really needs to be strongly taught to our children.
So this staves off the likes of low self-esteem, low self-worth, issues like this. This is what you're working on. How do you open up the conversation about this? I'm really curious about this. How do you get 9-year-olds to, you know, engage with you on this? Just, you know, that aspect.
So it's all done through the way I run my classes and in schools when I'm teaching as well. It's all done through fun and art and stories, and they would even make their inner critic. So like we would use like little lollipop sticks or puppets, and they would make their own with like material and fabrics, and this is your inner critic. And you know, you'd even give them maybe like a little envelope and say, well, what could our inner friend say to us if we're having a bad day? So we'd take out our little envelope and we'd say, my inner friend would say to me, keep going, you're trying hard, you're doing amazing, you're wonderful. And by training the brain and rewiring the brain to say all these kind of, like we'd say, positive affirmations to themselves, like the more we keep doing this with children, you know, the more they, you know, whatever we practice grows stronger. So you're working with the plasticity of the brain. And so the more we help children relate to themselves with this inner friend voice, the stronger the connections become in the brain, and the more habitual it will come for a child to relate to themselves with an inner friendship rather than an inner bully, as I say, if we don't get in early and work with our children.
And I take it it's more important than ever today, living in this world dominated by social media, online, and all the issues that surround that. It's more important than ever.
Exactly. Like, and even the likes of social media, like what I want to teach children, that if they are having a bad day, you know, I want them to come away from my workshops and kind of say, you know, well, I'm not really having a good day. And, you know, how can I be a friend to myself in this moment? So say they see something on social media, or, you know, something happened in school. Like, how can I be a friend to myself in this moment? How am I relating to myself? How am I speaking to myself? Would I speak to a good friend the way I'm speaking to myself right now? And also to teach them to say, like, if a good friend was in my situation, what would I tell them to do?
Yeah.
So it's teaching them to have, and as adults, I feel we need this as well. Like, you know, we really find it hard to have a good relationship with ourselves sometimes. Like if I asked you, Jerry, tell me 5 good things about your friend, you'd easily probably rhyme off 5 good things about your friend. But once I ask people, tell me 5 good things about yourself, people struggle with that.
Mm.
People struggle to have a relationship with themselves sometimes. And that's what we need to work on. We need to work on building that relationship with themselves and telling them that they are their best friend.
Yes.
And, you know, that they need to look after themselves. Sometimes we can tell children, you know, to look after other people, but when do we actually tell them that it's important to look after themselves?
Yes. Anyway, I've come to a conclusion. We all should be Mars bars. We lead ourselves. We love ourselves that much. You know,
that's what we want for
everybody. Anyway, before we finish, just tell them, how do they find out more about this 5-week program that you're starting, My Mind and Me Workshop for 9 to 12 year olds?
For 9 to 12 year olds, yeah. So it's in Myo Body Balance in Drogheda, and it's starting on the 20th of April, and it's running for 5 weeks. And I just set up an Instagram page. There's a lot on the Instagram page. I've been putting stuff up kind of every day.
Yes.
So there's a lot more on that, and information and pictures, so people can see a little bit more. So that Instagram page is wellness_with_Lisa. And then my number to ring to book into the workshops is 083-317-1181.
Lovely. I really like what you're doing. It's something that should be incorporated mainstream into education. But with that gap, you're stepping in there, and it's wonderful that you're doing it. I wish you all the success in the world with it. And I'm sure you're going to do an awful lot of good for so many young people and their families. Thank you so much,
Lisa.
Thank
you, Jerry. Lovely, thank you.
Lovely
Thanks,
to talk
Jerry.
To you. Take care now. Bye-bye. That's Lisa Brown there. And again, our Instagram is wellness_with_Lisa. That's on Instagram. All the information is there. Eddie Caffrey's coming next with The Drive here on LMFM Radio. Stay with us. We're back with your Friday late lunch tomorrow from 1:30. Have a lovely evening. We'll see you then.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.